Hey, welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Phil on the ones and twos. Sherry, we should have you do the intro sometime.
When you are on vacation, Burl does make me do it. It's a lot of pressure.
I want to hear Burl's like TV voice. Like he could get on there. Hey, and welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati.
That's like the old radio voices from the 80s, like what the radio station DJs used to sound like.
That is coming up next week, right? Burl? You and Burl?
I don't know this. Are you on vacation?
I'm gone. Yeah. I'm off.
Have you told Burl?
I haven't told him, no.
You haven't told me either.
I guess
either.
We've told him now because he'll hear this as he listens.
You know what, you guys? We fly by the seat of our pants a little bit with the podcast. We both love doing it. It is a great part of our week when we're actually doing it, but it does take a lot of planning, and guests can attest to the fact that sometimes the day before we're recording, we're like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? That's how we roll a little bit, but you're giving us a week's notice, so that actually, to me,
just turn in my week's notice,
is a long window of time. Then I believe I'm going to be gone the next week.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Tom.
It's time for a vacation, I'm not going to lie. But first, we got to get through this episode.
That's right. And before we go on, our special guest today is sculptor Tom Tsuchiya. Pretty much any statue you see around town, Tom Tsuchiya did it. You see so many... all the red statues around Great American Ballpark.
I'm really looking forward to talking to him because I did not know this. We've gotten to know him a little bit with the Marion Spencer statue that was unveiled on Sunday at Smale Park. And I, this is his biography, and you see these statues and you take pictures with them. And they're just, they're part of the fabric of our city. And today, I'm excited. Today, we're going to get to meet the person who created them.
Yeah. It's fascinating work. What a fascinating career. Looking forward to having Tom join us here momentarily. First, politics.
It's summer. There's no politics. Ha! No, just
people
kidding.
People are tired, Sherry.
I'm just kidding. There's tons of politics.
I keep having conversations with people. Like, people are just tired right now.
I know, but we can't. We got to keep the energy. Get some caffeine, Jay. It's the state budget. There's still a lot of stuff going on at the state house. They're going to be talking about sports betting coming up here. You know, the earnings tax, it's really, we're not supposed to be talking about the state budget, but the earnings tax really is going, this is it. It's ramping up. The idea of everyone working remotely from outside the county because the state budget did yesterday include the fact that, you know, 2020, it's safe. Those taxes are safe. But for 2021, people can file and say, I'm not working downtown. My office is closed and not pay those earnings taxes, which is kind of dovetails into what we are going to be talking about.
But I think it's important for people to know that, is it 75% of the, two-thirds?
Oh, Cincinnati, yeah.
Of the Cincinnati annual budget is funded by earnings tax.
Despite warnings for years that that's not the best way to fund a city budget.
And that's if you, and this impacts people who don't just live in the city, but who work in the city. Because if you work in the city, you live in the city, you pay the earnings tax. And so this could be very, very detrimental to public services, key basic services.
So it went from a lot of like worry and not knowing to there's a definitive answer about what's going on right now. And now, you know, cities are going to have to grapple with it. And, you know, earnings, Columbus and Cleveland have a similar problem with a lot of revenue coming from earnings taxes, these big urban cities. But they have more cities that are around them, and we're more township-based. And so, like, if you live in a township like I do, there's not an earnings tax. Right. But, like, if you live outside of Columbus, you might live in another city where they're like, well, there's an earnings tax. So which earnings tax do you want to pay?
Right.
You're choosing. But here, you're going to see a lot of people in these townships be like, well, I don't have an earnings tax where I actually live have been working. But anyway, so we'll be, you know, really following up on that. The budget was just jam-packed with things, as it usually is, although they did not wait till the very last second, as in past years. So watch for, you know, our whole Columbus Bureau to, you know, suss out the individual things that are in these, you know, big stories right now of, like, all the things they did.
Speaking of earnings tax, do we?
I mean, Chris Seelbach dropped a little bit of a bombshell. Last Wednesday was the last, it feels like a thousand years ago, Jason, I'm not going to lie. Last Wednesday was the last council meeting before summer break. We were supposed to have a meeting this week. They canceled it. You know, you didn't hear me in the back saying, no, we should have a meeting. So Chris had planned on, you know, kind of a more thoughtful rollout of what he, it's like issue three, part two is kind of what I'm thinking of it as, because it's really, it's another solution to the affordable housing crisis that city council members have been talking about, which is to raise the earnings tax by 0.1 from 1.8 to 1.9 and put this $17 million a year that it would raise. Into affordable housing.
Maybe based on what we just talked about at the top there.
True, true. Those numbers are going to be squishy at best. All those forecasts, they're already tough to do. So he just announced it at the end of the council meeting. I will say, you know, I was surprised, but all of the council members said, you know, we need to do something about affordable, and leaders, all these leaders, county, everyone, we need to do something about affordable housing. Ooh, but issue three isn't it. That's a bridge too far. It'll decimate the budget. And, you know, voters went along with it. It failed by 70%. Voters are like, this isn't the plan we want. But if the council members are to be believed and something needs to be done, because I don't want to weigh in on how I feel about affordable housing here, but this is what we've been hearing from them for years, then it is like, what's the plan? And this happens to be Chris Seelbach's plan, and he wants it to be a charter amendment, which needs, he brought it up because it needs this vote at the very next meeting in August to get on the ballot. So it's not like they're unilaterally going to do it. He's asking council to vote on a charter amendment and put it to voters. You know, as these days have, you know, kind of passed by, it does not seem like this is the plan they want. Now, to be fair, it is a election year. And I'm not sure asking people up for election if raise taxes is maybe the best premise in an election year. But you got to give them credit for at least putting forward some sort of plan. Look, Jason, here you go. Go.
I don't really have a lot to say about it. I think you summed it up pretty well.
So watch for that vote to be coming up. Rachel Smith, an intern at the Inquirer this summer, has been a huge help to me. Just really, I mean, you're reading her stories just because it's a City Hall story.
Can I get a personal intern?
Doesn't mean, no, it's not a personal intern. She's our team intern, Jay.
I could use some help on my research on my column I'm doing right now on J.D. Vance.
Yeah, it's going to be big news. By the time you're all listening to this podcast, we'll have heard what his big announcement is. I don't know. What could that be, Jason?
I don't know. Maybe you should check Fox News and see since he wants to talk to Fox News and Breitbart News, but he doesn't want to talk to the local or state media. So maybe check that and see what his announcement is. It is going to be
the people who write for the citizens.
That was being sarcastic.
Who vote for state races.
Okay. He's going to announce that he's running as you people are listening to this. He's announcing Thursday night that he's running for the U.S. Senate, and I have a column on Cincinnati.com about it.
I know. I'm looking forward to reading it.
I'm looking forward to being done with it.
Oh, you know, sometimes stories are like that. All right. What do you think? Special guest time?
Special guest time. Tom Tsuchiya. All right. Special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm pleased to welcome sculptor Tom Tsuchiya. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, I was just thrilled to have dedicated Marion's sculpture last weekend. It was just absolutely tremendous. Both fun and just a moving moment in our city.
You know what? It really was. So let's talk about this one moment. We have a lot of questions about, we want to go like into your background and how you got into this and all of the ones that you've done. But you know, this weekend really was a special moment. And, you know, I think that we all know who Marion Spencer is. And, like, covering City Hall, you know, I have a special understanding of some things she's done in this city. But she means so many different things to people. Like, how – what was it like when they called you and asked you to do this?
Yeah, it was –
And
it was
also,
something.
Who is they?
Yeah. It was – Yeah, that this was, you know, it's funny because, you know, it seems like so long ago, but it wasn't really that long ago. I feel it's a couple years ago. So it was in, it's at 2019, I think, yes, 2019, summer. Then at that time, the Women's City Club, you know, got permission from Marion to have a sculpture created of, you know, to celebrate her and her achievements. And, you know, got the green light from Marion, and then they held a sort of little competition. And then so it was Susan Noonan, who is one of the committee members, contacted me about submitting some concepts and ideas. So that's how it really all began, you know, it was that summer. And then so I had this idea of developing a sculpture with Marion with two kids, you know, so it wasn't just a single figure, but maybe with a couple of kids. And then because I just knew she did so much, you know, of for the community that really helped children out and, you know, future generations. So, but then I knew that I was like, oh, that's going to be pretty big work. So then I called on my apprentice, Gina Arardi, a really talented artist. And then I had her, I sort of promoted her, so to speak, to co-artist that we're going to both work together on the project.
And Gina is daughter of former longtime Inquirer sports writer, John Arardi. Yeah.
Yep. That is correct. So you got a little Inquirer connection. Go, yeah. Inquirer.
I'm glad she chose your profession and decided not to go into journalism. She's doing great work.
She's taking off and doing Newport murals. That's what she started on those. I think in her senior year, because she graduated last year, and then so that's her main project right now. There's a little lull in the project, right? I guess they're dealing with some of the logistics of some of the some aspects of the wall, like the sub themes and all that. But I think you probably see her on that project going back on the near term. And great.
So the sculpture allows the person who's viewing it to interact with it and hold hands with her and the children. You know, is that a part of every sculpture, this interactive piece? Am I superimposing my thoughts that it's interactive? Or is that how you consider it?
No, you're absolutely right. The sculpture is interactive. And we designed it that way so that it would have as much engagement with the community as possible. And really, I thought that would capture really what Marion was all about uniting people. So it's both symbolic and also just to kind of say fun. And it was Gene and I decided, when we were kind of scoping out sites for the sculpture, where would be located, you know, where we're going to put the sculpture. And we thought Smale Park would be the ideal, you know, it's just definitely one of the most beautiful parks anywhere, I'll say, in the nation. And at the same time, it has all these really neat features, you know, that are both beautiful and interactive too, you know, as you all know. And I thought, well, we want to make sure the sculpture really fits in and becomes a seamless part of the park. And then Marion and what she did would just be perfect, you know. So we thought, you know, right there east of this suspension bridge, and then you have this sort of like the playground there, and then essentially south of the Underground Railroad Freedom Center, National Freedom Center. And we thought, well, it's symbolic, it's meaningful, and also it's just perfect for this sculpture. So it was, thought, you know, that would be, you know, interactive, be perfect.
Congratulations on that. That's a really, it looked like a great crowd too, came out to.
Oh, thanks. Yes. Yeah. It's just, it was neat. It was exciting that even like, it was just like, the day afterwards, and you know, there are people just, you know, just when we're just park visitors is going up to the sculpture and you know, they used to say, oh, hold hands. And because we wrote down on the ground, you know, hold hands and unite, you know, so people instantly say, oh yeah, they know what's going on, you know, and they hold hands with the awesome. Sculpture with bronze Mary and the kids. So it's really neat. It's working, you know, it's like mission accomplished.
Yeah.
So tell us how you got into this art form. Mm-hmm. And made a career out of it.
Yeah, I've just been very fortunate. I've always liked to like play around with clay and, you know, make sculptures. So like where we grew up in like in Kenwood area, there's like a creek in the back. So me and my brothers would go down to the creek and we'll get some real clay and they'll make like little figures or whatever out of it. And then I remember, however, that clay would just crumble, you know, in the sun, you know. But then later on, when I got a little more serious into it, then I got to work with some other kinds of clays and, you know, like what we learn in school, plus my apprenticeship with Karen Havenstraight. You probably know her. She's a notable portrait painter here in town, and she does a lot of like the paintings down of the conductors at Music Hall, for instance, you know. And so she became like one of my first mentors, and she likes to do sculpture as on the side. So she just became my very first sculpture mentor. And then, I really just kind of got the sculpture bug, you know, so I was working with her. And then later I met her mentor, Richard Miller, the sculptor. So it was great.
Did everyone tell you growing up that you had the talent to make this into a career?
Yeah, I guess people just knew that I had the talent. Like, I guess my dad always said, oh, I think he was very supportive, you know. And that was really great. Like, and both my parents were supported by because my dad did a lot of like painting for fun. And he said, oh yeah, I think you can do it. So I was really fortunate to get the support from my parents. They were like, oh, don't go into art. You know, and, they're like, no, you should do it. You should try it. So that was really great. You know, that's important, you know, to get support from family and other people, you know, because, you know, when you're young, you don't necessarily have that confidence necessarily that like, you know, like, go and do these things, you know, and having a good support is important, you know. So I felt I was really lucky that way. And
What was your first big sculpture that we know of around here, or was it somewhere else actually?
Yeah, it's actually my very first big sculpture is actually this. It's ironic because I'm a Bearcat. I went to UC, you know, as a graduate, a proud Bearcat there. But the funny thing is, my very first big public sculpture was for my rival and our rival, you know, the Xavier University. And, so I did a sculpture of D'Artagnan, the Musketeer, in front of Cintas Center. So that was my first big one. So I thought it was pretty funny. So I guess I'm kind of a traitor. That makes me a traitor, I guess, to my Bearcats.
So that was what around, because the CentOS Center opened in 2000. Was that around the time? Yeah.
That's correct. Yep. Opened in 2000. And then, so it was late 90s. It was like about 1999 or so that I was working on D'Artagnan.
And away you went. And how do you keep business going? Do people see, oh, we love the Musketeer statue, and we want you to we want another statue at this park or this arena or this place? Like how does that?
People would see the piece, and then they say, oh yeah, we'd like to, you know, something similar or whatever. And it's just at that time it will also work out that the Reds, as you know, were building, you know, at that time, the brand new Great American Ballpark, you know, and to replace the old Riverfront. And so at that time, then the Reds chief operating officer, John Allen, was familiar with D'Artagnan. So that was really great. And then, that was a competition there. And then luckily, when I put in my proposals, he was familiar with D'Artagnan, you know, and he thought D'Artagnan was, you know, had all the energy and, you know, life. So I thought that would be perfect for the Reds, the first ones I did for the Reds, which were the Crosley Field era guys.
Yeah.
So that was again, it was perfect timing, and it was just, it was great. And, it's great when you have people that already been familiar with something you've seen. So they're like, oh, I know that piece, and oh, I love that piece, or whatever. So, yeah.
So you did one up north, too, a little north of us.
Yes.
You can see from I-75.
Yes. There's a sit-in figure there.
It replaced Touchdown Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It's not Touchdown Jesus, but it replaced Touchdown Jesus. That seems like a big task.
The son of Touchdown Jesus. Yes. You know, we call him Hug Me Jesus is one of the nicknames, and I guess $5 foot long. And my favorite one is a 4th-and-1 Jesus. So it's kind of keeps in with the football theme, you know. And but I really love that piece. Yeah, this one here just is it's a welcoming Jesus, you know. And I think that people love that, you know. And I know Solid Rock really loves the new design, and they're great to work with too. So I really enjoyed working with them, and yeah, really great church, and I just thought something it encapsulated what they're all about too. So I was like, yeah, this is gonna be good.
Has been the hardest one?
The
like
hardest
for you
one
to be
on.
Like, I need to capture the essence of whichever one it is. What's been the hardest?
Yeah, the hardest one. Oh, that's seems like everyone. I feel like every project.
That's how we feel about our stories.
The Pete Rosen was a huge challenge, right?
Yeah, and all I can say one thing was the one thing I could say that it seemed. Oh yeah, first of all, I could say Pete's. I had a lot of great help with that one with the engineers, the GE guys. You know, so in a weird way, that made that project easier because I didn't have to concern myself with an entire or the whole engineering aspects of having having Pete fly, you know. So yeah. The GE guys were working on all that, so I can focus on the fun stuff of making him look cool, you know, diving into third base. So in a weird way, and there was so many different things that. I had to manage the project, so it was still a challenge. And then this was actually kind of funny too, because the GE guys, they were great. They donated their time and volunteers, but then there were all kinds of costs involved in terms of using student materials. And they're used to working on projects that are like, you know, billion dollar projects. So I remember initially they started coming up with costs that were like huge, you know, for materials and student things. And I was like, whoa, we gotta think of something that is not, you know, this is not, you know, we're not, you know, designing jet engines for airplanes, you know. So I remember thinking, okay, how do we do this so it's a little more economical?
Has Mr. Rose weighed in?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, so with the four, like the recent, if at all, four of the recent, like the big red machine themed sculptures, all the guys were involved, and luckily, yeah, of course, you know, Joe at that time, for example, you know, he was, you know, around at that time, you know.
I'm talking about Joe Morgan, yeah. Now.
But yeah, Pete would, you know, he got to see the clay model, like my little models I was working on, and he was able to consult on it too, which is great, you know. So it was good to get his insight, his feedback, and all that. And it was a lot of fun to work with him. And then there, you know, the little things I would say always help a lot. Plus, just to kind of get the insight on, you know, on like what he did as a player. So one of the things was I asked him, you know, like why he slid head first all the time. You know, it's just why was he? You know, it's like just, you know, it's kind of dangerous, you know, all the time. And then he said to me, oh, that's because it gets you in the papers.
Interesting. So, I never realized that about Pete Rose's head first slides.
Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm.
Interesting guy.
So did we get away from which has been the hardest one, or was?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll say the hardest one in some ways. Yeah, I guess we did. Yeah, we kind of tangent.
That's how the podcast goes. It's fine.
in certain ways, to be honest, I think Marion's. Okay, like right now, I can think Marion's sculpture might have been one of the most difficult ones because, again, there's the three figures. We have to get all three figures coordinating with each other, And I've done that before with the piece at Xavier, Three Figures, and then another one with Joe Nuxalup in Fairfield with Three Figures. But yeah, they're always very, very difficult when you have Three Figures. And this one here, this one here was also a little bit, there's some challenges because the sculpture doesn't have a base to it. You know, it's planted right on the granite pavers down there. And then at the same time, to get everything is aligned perfectly and get all the shapes and all the figures kind of like work together, like to get a nice rhythm together and all that. And to get her likeness, you know, nailed down just right and how she appeared back in 84, all that's like really, yeah, that was really very difficult. And I was really glad because it really turned out, because often when you're dealing with folks like portraying people from the past and you're only working from video or some photos, it's really hard to get their likeness right. You know, it's very difficult. And it's, you know, and this one, Marion, I was really, really happy that it's like, wow, it really looks like her.
I agree. I agree with that. I didn't know her very well, but I agree that it is a perfect likeness. And of course, there were people there who did know her really well and loved her. And so that you were in a crowd that did.
Yes. Yeah, like her family, you know, we're all there, and you know, so they all came out, and yeah, it really connected. You know, they were to connect with the piece. I was lucky that at Camille, her, you know, because her twin sister, her niece, you know, her twin sister's daughter, looked very similar to Marion, so she posed in the actual outfits that Marion wore, and she told us all kinds of stories as well, and that really. It really helped to make sure that the sculpture was Marion. So that helped. So, but yeah, very difficult. And also the sculpture is in the floodplain area. So, you know, where it can flood. So we had to make sure it was designed to meet with all the requirements of the city. And there's all kinds of things we had to go, you know, hoops, you know, we had to jump. Yeah.
So do you, is there one that a sculpture that you're typically commissioned to do them, right? But is there one that you look around and you're like, this thing or this place needs this sculpture? Do you think like that, or do you let the projects come to you?
Yeah, there's a little bit of both, you know, so you know, I see, like, for example, yeah, just things I see around town or other places, like, oh yeah, this would be perfect for a sculpture, or it would certainly, you know, it would enhance the place, you know, if we can have a piece here or, you know, something like that. So yeah, it's a little bit of both, you know. So in fact, to be honest with you, Smale Park, I kind of thought, you know, they already have a number of pieces down there, really beautiful works, like the Black Brigade Memorial. So that was done by John Havenstreet, who is the son of my mentor, Karen. Absolutely superb job there. And I thought, it would be nice to just here and there have a couple pieces of sculpture. And then I thought, just where the women's committee garden, where Marion is, well, in that area, we could use a sculpture. And it's like, well, it ended up, you know, we ended up doing a sculpture there, putting a sculpture there. So it's perfect.
One place right now besides Smale Park, one place around the area that you look at and you drive by or you see and you say, I want a sculpture there.
Yeah, I would say right now I was thinking, actually like Alt Park, I go there a lot. So, and then there's something that might be need to have something there. And
who would it be?
It's actually, this is interesting because this is something of it, I've been actually talking with some folks already about this. So Lafcadio Hearn, which as you know, has also a Cincinnati Inquirer connection, because was involved with them. And so there's a group of folks here that want to honor him. And as you know, he was not only famous for writing here in Cincinnati, but also I guess he's most known globally for essentially introducing the culture of Japan to the Western world, you know. So after he spent time in Cincinnati, he eventually moved to Japan and lived the rest of his life there. And he wrote all these, like, kind of like shared a lot of the sort of traditional Japanese ghost stories to America and the West, and also wrote a little bit about the cultures, about like everything from their castles to the villages and culture. Some folks here, there's like called the Japan Resource Center. I think Gary Eithen, those guys want to create a sculpture that honors him, you know. So, and then there's the sort of the Japanese portion, the cherry blossom portion of the All Park. And I thought, you know, I always thought that maybe even they got the beautiful gardens there, but maybe one little sculpture or something. So, you know, I thought we can put some kind of a piece there. So Gary and I, and then also like Ann Golden, you know, of the Japan America Society, we've been kind of talking, you know, about something like that. So, about doing, you know, some kind of a piece there.
Do you do private commissions too, where people are collecting your work?
Yes. Yeah. So I do private commissions as well. You know, so in fact, some of my most early pieces I've done were for like Jim and Burkhoff, the Realty folks. And they really helped me actually launch what I do. And then so I did some bronze sculptures of their grandkids in their gardens. And some of my, probably my most favorite figures I've ever done actually happened to be for them. It was for Burden Huff's grandkids that they're like hula hooping, you know, and they're really neat, kind of like a really fun design in their garden, you know. So I think it's probably one of my faves. And then, do a variety of work, including private.
Do you have any more Reds players coming up?
Yeah, we probably, you know, right now I know the Reds, you know, they're just trying to dig themselves out of the hole that was last year. So, I'm sure somewhere in the near term, we'll get back and talk about some potential future projects, you know, with them. And, but yeah, good to see that. I think they're getting some good turnout. So, and I've been going down there myself to the games, trying to help them out.
Have you?
Support them.
How yeah. about any of the Bengals? Have you done any work with them?
No, I've not done anything with the Bengals, but as you know, they have this thing called the Ring of Honor that's coming up. But that involves some kind of, like, I think some interactive, some sort of display-like forms. I have a feeling it's going to be kind of like the New England's, the Patriots kind of Hall of Fame, you know, with kind of like kiosk where people can, you know, learn about like some of their notable players. But no, nothing with the Bengals yet, if ever.
Do you have a preference? Would you rather do sports figures, political figures? Like, does that figure like the Musketeer?
I like just like a change of pace. You know, the variety of things are fun. So, you know, everything from like university mascots to, you know, politicians.
Yeah, university. I mean, Musketeers wasn't mythical, but yeah.
Oh yeah, Musketeers, and then baseball has been kind of my. It's just been something. I'm a big fan of baseball in the first place, and I just kind of got involved with them. So I'm pretty happy. And then, I like doing the Hall of Fame plaques for Cooperstown. That's always something I plan to do as long as I can do sculpting. And I'm pretty happy there as well. You know, just and athletic subject matter is always something I actually like a lot. And it certainly athletes and, you know, their different poses fits really well with sculptures, you know. So they make some really cool, poses. Like, completed Wayne Embry's statue from Miami, a few weeks ago. Yeah. And then, Amanda took some really great photos too, by the way, you know, of the statue. So she was up there documenting.
Talking about Inquirer photographer Amanda Rossman.
She's good. Yeah, really. She took better photos than I did of some of the statue. You know, there's some good angles. She had the right angles, you know, and that really showed the piece really well. You know, the dynamic. That was a really fun piece. You know, it showed Wayne in his classic, his sort of signature hook shot. So stuff like that. It lends for sculpture really well. You know, really exciting. You know, poses and things like that.
Great stuff, Tom. And is there a place, I don't know, a Facebook page or website where people can come and see your collection of statues?
Yeah. And then, my website's right now, it's like antiquated. I got to get it updated, but you can go to my website. But like, I put all my latest stuff on my, like, any kind of stuff on Instagram. Instagram is the best one because I actually, that is like the most update thing, you know, that I have. So it's just Tom Sculptor, I think. It's Tom Sculptor. T-O-M Sculptor.
Tom Sculptor at Instagram, where all your latest, that's great stuff.
Yeah, so I'm always updating that. And then I only got started, I only have like 14 posts, but that's the one that I'm going to be putting stuff all the time now. So, yeah.
Sherry just started following you as we're sitting here. So,
Oh, yeah. That's really the best.
Hey, great. Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. And just appreciate your work and what you do for this community. And look forward to seeing many more figures around town being honored through your work.
Absolutely. You know, thanks for having me on the show. And looking forward to some more work in the area. Just love Cincinnati community. It's just a beautiful city. Yeah, the people are great. Just a beautiful landscape. So anything to help enhance it and make it better, I'm all about it.
Thanks again to Tom Tsuchiya. Appreciate him coming on and sharing his unique story and about his unique career and the great work that he does for our community and beyond. And now it's time for our That's So Cincinnati Moment of the Week, brought to you by Cincinnati.com. Sherry, with this week's moment, go.
It's kind of like it's that So Bahamas moment, but it really isn't Cincinnati. I had the opportunity to go on the SS Tiki boat on Saturday night. It's just not something you would think is, okay, Cincinnati, but it really is. You know, it just takes it goes out of Rivertown Marina and just takes advantage of the Ohio River. I went Saturday night on like a sunset kind of cruise, and it just was so great to see how vibrant the Ohio River is. And how many boats there were, you know, the paddle boat goes by, the barge. It was a really good night and just a lot of vibrancy on the river. And I don't think you hear about that enough.
Beautiful, crystal clear, clean water.
Well, I mean, we didn't touch the water. That wasn't true. The sunset over the city was lovely.
I swam in that water a lot growing up.
So that's what happened.
Yeah. Anyway.
It really is just a fun summer activity here, SS Tiki boats.
We're like people wearing like grass skirts and stuff. And
it's what tiki. You make of it.
Okay.
You know, the boat does. It has like the lays kind of like flowing off of it. And it looks very tiki-esque. But you got to bring all... So it can be as tiki as you want it to be.
Did you wear a grass skirt?
No.
Is that what they call those?
Yeah. Did wear a flower crown. But it was more like, you know, like the tropical drinks. And so it's like we brought the tiki.
They have margaritas?
We didn't do margaritas, but you could. It would have fit the theme for sure.
I've become a big fan.
Intriguing. Okay.
I've always been a beer guy. I don't do hard liquor except for... in the summertime, I don't mind a last few summers now. I don't mind a margarita.
Frozen or on ice?
On ice.
Salt or no?
I know.
Salt
it's on
or
rocks.
No?
It's on the rocks. I at least know that.
Okay.
Salt, yes. Salt or no.
Do you have a favorite place where you get margaritas?
My friend Jeremy's house.
Okay. we like Veracruz's. Veracruz makes, you know, a good one.
Yeah.
You got to get the small because it's actually more like a large.
Like a big
the
bowl.
Large is yeah. like a big giant thing. But they make a really good margarita there. East Price Hill, Veracruz.
I like El Toro too in the Hyde Park Plaza. I like their margaritas.
Oh, I haven't been there in a long time.
I've been to Veracruz multiple times. I've never had their margaritas, so I'm going to have to try that. It's a good restaurant. Is that
big,
that's
big
East
patio.
Price Hill?
Yep.
Yes, it's good stuff.
All right. Well, happy summer, Jason.
And you learned something about me. I swam in the Ohio River a lot growing up.
Paddle Fest is coming up.
You doing it?
I am.
I should try to do it, right?
Actually, it's on my list of things to do to see if you're going to sign up. there. So now we're at the personal.
I haven't gotten the
friendship
kayak.
Portion of the podcast.
I haven't gotten the kayak out this year yet. So,
well, with all the cicadas, it was kind of a tougher like beginning of the summer with bike riding and, you know, kayaking, and I've had a lot going on. But now's the time. So yeah, we got to get that out.
Sounds great.
All right, we're doing the 9 mile.
Boo!
We got to start training.
Whoa. All right. Thank you so much for listening this week. We're going to discuss this off the air. Catch you next week.